Blog Talk Radio. Tune in with me. And if you're streaming later on, that's all right too. So today's show, I think fits pretty well for the time of year that's come upon us. Wedding season. I want to talk about wedding traditions first. Then I want to talk about the costs of weddings. Then I want to talk about types of weddings. More specifically, what are some traditions? Do we still keep them? Have they changed over the years? Then, how many people are willing to spend $1 million for their wedding? I personally don't get it, but we'll get into that later. And how much does it actually cost to have a wedding? You know, breaking it down piece by piece. Last part is types. There are many different types of weddings, not just multicultural weddings, but in general, different types of weddings. And so I'm going to touch on the different types of weddings and, you know, that type of thing. I mean, like I said, it's wedding season, and I just so happen to be attending a wedding on Friday and at the end of the month, so it kind of works perfect. But before that, I have to start, how I always do, with the short story of the week. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is one of those shake-your-head type stories. You're probably going to be hard to hear because it's so frustrating. But anywho, so it was Easter Sunday. My boyfriend and his daughter and I were trying to find somewhere to eat for dinner. You know, have our early dinner right after church, someplace we haven't been. We Google a few places, and of course, they're all booked. Not surprised at all. But I start to remember this place that one of his friends told us about. It's called Tavern on the Green, and it's one of those restaurants that's inside of a community, you know, kind of like a mini town type place, you know, all those rich houses, and they have the country club, and they have a golf course, and then, bam, right in the middle, restaurant. And the, you know, condominium place is called Spring Creek. Well, anyways, so he doesn't want to drive out there before we know if they have any room. Makes sense. So I call. I let the girl know that we have three people and want to know if they have room for people, and what, three people in like 20 minutes. She's like, so we have a table that's about to get up right now. So if you come in 20 minutes, yes, we can go ahead and seat you. But unfortunately, we can't take any more reservations until 1. So yes, come on right now and we can get you in. Yes, that's exactly how she sounded. I'm not even trying to be funny right now. Like, that's how she sounded. Okay, so I'm like, that's awesome. Cool. We'll be there 20 minutes. No later. Bam. On the way. We get to the restaurant, wait at the door. Girl comes to ask if we have a reservation. I explained to her the phone call and everything about it. She then proceeds to tell me that the table that just left that the girl on the phone is talking about is actually full now. And there is really not a table available except for at the bar. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we can't go to the bar because we have someone who's underage. She then proceeds to tell me how the table that there is not actually at the bar. It's another small table that's in the back of the bar. I'm thinking, okay, back of the bar. It's not what actually happened. I wasn't picturing this table when she said back at the bar. But we go. We're going past there, and it's, you know, my boyfriend's like, okay, sure, let's go ahead. By the way, if anyone's wondering, my boyfriend's name is William, so I'll stop saying my boyfriend. I'll just say William. That way it won't get confused. Anywho, so William says, okay, let's go ahead. So we go inside. We walk past the buffet where they're having all the food, past the tables and chairs where the actual restaurant is, past the bar to the back of the restaurant and behind the bar. I need you to picture this in your head. We go past the buffet, past the restaurant, past the bar to the back of the bar. And when I say back, I mean the back. Think about a two-part restaurant. You have a bar, then you have the main restaurant. The main restaurant is huge. Then the bar is like separated between like a wall and like an opening. Now imagine that there's another space that's behind that bar. The bar that is also in the back of the restaurant. And then imagine a wall with no windows and kind of like a rectangular corner where you really couldn't fit anybody, another large table in there. That was where they wanted to sit at. Tiny little table in the back of the bar with no windows, no sunshine, nothing. I'm like, whoa, I'm sorry, but we're not about to have a black family in the back of the place. This is not that type of situation. Not 1886, honey. No, I'm not the one. Long story short, the family that came behind us, they got the good table. Coincidence? I doubt it. So, needless to say, that's the story of the week. If you're just now tuning in, I'm Adise Renee, and I just told my short story of the week of my Easter Sunday. Pretty exciting if you, you know, like that kind of thing. But today's show is now going to be about weddings. So to start, I want to talk about tradition. So I asked the question yesterday on my Facebook page, what are some of today's wedding traditions? And before I share some of them, if I do have them, I'm going to read some traditions I found on theknot.com because I want to see if any of these match up with some of the responses I got. I don't think I got any, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to lie, some of the ones I found are actually funny and make you wonder. Not all of them are American traditions. Some are from different cultures. So just, you know, have an open mind. Okay, so this one is, brides, tuck a sugar cube into your glove. According to Greek culture, the sugar will sweeten your union. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, if your union wasn't sweet to begin with, I don't think sugar is going to do it. But hey, maybe the Greeks feel different. The English believe a spider found in a wedding dress means good luck. Two words. Heck no. In English tradition, Wednesday is considered the best day to marry, although Monday is for wealth and Tuesday is for health. I mean, let's be serious, though. If Tuesday is supposed to be the best day, I mean, in some cultures, you don't close your eyes, so it sounds to me like getting married on the day of wealth makes a little bit more sense. But hey, like I said, that's just me. The groom carries the bride across the threshold to bravely protect her from evil spirits lurking below, a tradition that we, of course, in, you know, American times know all about. But I think that this is more of a superstition than it is a tradition. I mean, I could be wrong. Rain on your wedding day is actually considered good luck, according to Hindu tradition. Do not tell a bride that, especially if her wedding is outside. For good luck, Egyptian women pinch the bride on their wedding day. Ouch! No, thank you. Middle Eastern brides paint henna on their hands and feet to protect them from the evil eye. Okay, I actually really like this one. I mean, mainly because henna is freaking awesome, but other than that, it's kind of cool. Peas are thrown at Czech noodles instead of rice. As long as they're not frozen peas, I'm good with you. A Swedish bride puts a silver coin from her father and a gold coin from her mother in each shoe to ensure that she'll never do without. Kind of like what I said about the coins on each eye thing. See, some cultures actually are getting it right. A Finnish bride traditionally went door to door collecting gifts in a pillowcase, accompanied by an older married man who represented long marriage. All right. This one is just weird. Can you imagine walking door to door in your wedding dress, collecting gifts with an older married man that isn't the husband you just joined in the union with? Yeah, like I said, weird. Moroccan women take a milk bath to purify themselves before their wedding ceremony. Yes, because my dairy is very exciting. I mean, what do I know? Can't knock it till you try it. But the next, okay, so that's, you know, some of the traditions I found for a couple of different cultures. The next set of traditions are related more to the food aspect of weddings. The really exciting part of the wedding, the reception. I mean, okay, that's wrong to say. I've never gotten married, so I can't say that. In Egypt, the bride's family traditionally does all the cooking for the week after the wedding so the couple can relax. Hey, I'm all for that. In South Africa, the parents of both bride and groom traditionally carry fire from their hearth to light a new fire in the newlywed's hearth. Okay, cool. The tradition of a wedding cake comes from ancient Rome, where revealers broke a loaf of bread over the bride's head for fertility's sake. First of all, why did it have to go over the head? I mean, can't we just, like, break it in half? I mean, but do we really, and then let me just say, do we really need a reason to have cake? I mean, come on, it's cake. I know. I'm a fatty. What do? The custom of tiered cakes, speaking of cakes, the custom of tiered cakes emerged from a game where the bride and groom attempted to kiss over an even higher cake without knocking it over. Okay. Anyone that I know that is getting married next year, I'm going to let them know to please try this. I feel like this would actually be pretty hilarious. I mean, I'm totally mentioning this to all my friends that are getting married. I'm not even going to lie about that. Queen Victoria's cake weighed 300 pounds. Holy crap, that's a lot of cake. That's a lot of cake. Brides carry or wear something old on their wedding day to symbolize continuity with the past. The something blue in a bridal ensemble symbolizes purity, fidelity, and love. If you were ever wondering what the something old and something new things represent, but I'm still interested in the, you know, if the new, borrowed, old, and blue tradition is still popular today. I don't really know. I probably should ask my sister if she did that for her wedding. But anyway, in Denmark, brides and grooms traditionally cross-dress to confuse evil spirits. This one, really, all you can do is chuckle. How many couples can say that they would actually do this? I really don't know many. But again, I've never been married. I don't know. Maybe I could talk to my soon, you know, whatever man I get married to do this. But what did I tell you? Some of these are pretty fun. But it's really amazing to me some of the traditions that are in other wedding cultures. But I'm sure now you're probably wondering about American wedding traditions. Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm Adise Renee, and I'm going to read you this article on worldweddingtraditions.net that talks more about modern American weddings. I'll read a few of the points that it hit, but I won't just keep reading all of them. You know, that's just unnecessary. And it doesn't look like I have any responses on Facebook about my question, what are today's typical wedding traditions? But you can still have time. If you are listening right now, then go on my page, Hannah Your Business Radio, and give me a couple of traditions that you can think of. It's okay if I don't get any. I just, you know, want to throw that out there. But I'm going to take a quick break. Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry. Well, you know, I'll take a quick break and see if some people give me some traditions. And when we come back, I'm going to read to you from worldweddingtraditions.net on some modern American weddings. Don't go anywhere. I'm Adise Renee, and this is Hannah Your Biz Radio.
Hey, guys. What are you doing at this very moment? Listening to the radio, right? Well, why not take the few minutes you have and go follow the Hannah Your Business page? All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio. Then you search for Hannah Your Business Radio, and voila, you press follow. It doesn't get any easier, right? You web search, then you search for the show, and then you follow. Oh, and after you do that, since I know you're on your Facebook account and Instagram anyway, like the pages, Hannah Your Business Radio and at Hannah Your Biz Radio. Follow and like. Very simple steps. And be sure to tune in every Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio. For new episodes with me, Adise Renee. You're staring at your computer anyway. Sounds like you should be liking and following a few things if you catch my drift.
Hey, and welcome back to Handle Your Business Radio. I'm your host, Adise Renee. And unfortunately, let me just take a look. I don't think I got any, but I don't think I got any responses to my question. What are some traditional American, what are some American traditions that are still popular today? But that's okay. No big deal. I am going to read you some from, what is the name of the article again? Gosh, I forgot the name of the article all that fast. Oh, worldweddingtraditions.net. Okay, let's see. What do we have here? We have the shower. The bride may hold a wedding shower. She may invite female friends and work colleagues who may just be outside of the wedding guest list, but who she would still like to be involved in her day. Sometimes this also incorporates a bachelorette party, although a bride might choose to hold this separately so that she also gets a night of partying with her friends. I personally love that one. I mean, any chance to party and dress up with your girls is awesome. But anywho, all right, then we have another modern wedding tradition is for the wedding rehearsal to be a special event itself. Often is followed by a pre-wedding dinner or a cocktail party attended by those who have been at a wedding rehearsal. If this is the night before the wedding, as in is most common, the group may be joined by any guests who have traveled up for the wedding, so they get to enjoy a little meet, greet, and catch up before the big day. Now, my experience, aka my sister's wedding, we kept it to just family and wedding party for her rehearsal dinner, but maybe other people do it different. No idea. Let's see, now about the ceremony. American brides and grooms usually follow a white wedding tradition of dress and formalities, unless they are of a faith which has own costumes, customs, and ceremonies. Okay, typical. Let's see. Generally, modern American wedding ceremonies are pretty brief, unless it's a faith ceremony, which forms part of a religious mass, such as the Catholic wedding ceremony, for example, which can be approximately 45 minutes long. General faith ceremonies held in churches do tend to take longer than civil ceremonies. Okay, we kind of already did. All right, I'm going to read about two more. Let's see. Okay. Being invited to an American wedding does not necessarily oblige you to bring a gift. Don't tell the bride and groom that. As the custom is that the brides may have already received lots of useful household items at the bridal shower. However, most guests do like to show their affection and congratulations by bringing a gift along with them. The Americans were the first nation to start that in the late 20th century. The trend of the wedding gift registry with department stores, a trend which is now seen across the globe. As such, the gifts are usually sent directly to the couples or the bride's home, ready to be opened once they return from their honeymoon. All right, let's find one more good one. Ah, here we go. When the dancing celebrations start, it's still customary for the bride and groom to take to the floor for the first dance to their song. The last modern twist on this custom is that many modern American couples will take dance lessons specifically for this moment, so that they can wow and entertain their guests with a really celebratory dance. This is a trend which is fast catching on, and you can find many examples on lots of many websites, that I promise you. All right, so I think that in most part we get what a lot of American traditions are. And some have changed, some not so much, but I want to touch specifically on a couple of them a little more in depth, if that's all right. Let's take the white wedding dress, for instance. Now, don't get me wrong. A white wedding dress is elegant and beautiful, and it works for pretty much any and every woman. But I believe that as a woman in the 21st century, we've evolved past the white wedding dress. Modern looks and colors. I mean, I personally always had on my heart set on getting married in a yellow dress. I probably would look like a big bird or something, you know, like that. But nonetheless, I think it would look really nice. But I've seen brides wearing pink dresses, gold dresses, lavender dresses. even red dresses, to be honest. I mean, and what's wrong with that? As a people, we're so stuck on tradition that we don't want to open our imaginations even a little bit. I mean, I'm just saying. Then let's talk about the gift giving. I find to be very interesting that they say that giving a monetary gift is not always been the tradition, but tradition states that you give the bride and groom something that represents your love and appreciation for them as a couple. Today, I think it's just, let's give them money. I mean, don't be fooled. When I'm getting married, I'm going to be one-on-one saying, just give me the dough. But I'm saying that most couples don't get material gifts anymore, like fine china or furniture or things of that nature. We just buy a car, throw a check in it. It's pretty simple. I mean, I guess it eliminates the thought process, right? I mean, even though I want money as a gift when I get married, I also want some of those nice things to share in the household with my husband. Finally, the tradition of dancing. It's definitely one that has changed a lot, in my opinion, and as the article said. Instead of the bride and groom usually doing their first dance slow and soft, which still a lot of couples do, sister did it, they're now taking the first dance to a whole new level. I mean, group dances with the whole wedding party, dance lessons to make it fun and interesting. Some of them, honestly, I really enjoy. They're really fun to watch. I mean, even they have your husband dancing for you. I mean, giving you a lap dance right there on the floor in front of your family. I mean, future mister, I would totally be okay with that. Go right ahead. But you get the gist of what I'm saying, right? They've changed. Nobody does the traditional, not many people do the traditional wedding dance anymore. Wedding traditions in many cultures and in America have changed. Some have gotten really crazy. Some have become really nice. But if you date back to many years ago, we've taken what it used to be and we've made them new, exciting, fun, charismatic, and made it kind of all about the couple and not all about tradition. And I think that says a lot about the exciting part of going to or being in a wedding within itself. All right. All right. So now that we've talked on wedding traditions, let's touch a little bit on types of weddings. Because let's face it, a large wedding is just not for everybody anymore. Some are taking weddings to a whole new level. But before I read some of these types of weddings, I found in my search, I found in my search that there are new and different types of weddings that are happening all over the country. And I hear a lot of times people talk about how lame that might be, or tacky, or weird, or whatever. But to be honest, you want your wedding to fit your personality as a couple. So if you're not the everyday average, go all out and invite the world type couple, then why spend that much money on a wedding that really wouldn't mean much to those people that you are with after 24 hours? So keep an open mind for some of these. I mean, you've probably heard for a lot of them, but still keep an open mind because everyone really is different in how they want to celebrate their love and their wedding. All right, there's 12 of them, so I'm going to read all 12 real quick. All right, so we have the religious ceremony, the civil ceremony, the formal wedding, the informal wedding, destination wedding, cruise wedding, eloping, group wedding, double wedding, military wedding, proxy wedding, and same-sex wedding. Now that I've gotten that out of the way and, you know, read the list, let's see if we can get a little bit more in-depth on what some of these kind of are and my opinion on them. For starters, you have the most popular in a lot of Christian families and Christian couples, the religious wedding. According to the article, says is a wedding that takes place in a house of worship where the bride and groom is in the congregation. So this is the most popular type of wedding just by what it says, because you and your spouse are usually members of that church. And when you join in union, you're sharing that with your church family. The only change to this is that it's also popular in most couples about inviting your pastor to perform the wedding in a different location. This type of wedding can be coupled together with a formal type wedding. Because the article says, again, that a formal wedding is one that holds tightly to age-old tradition, conforms to exacting social expectations, including an elaborately decorated ceremony and a reception, numerous attendants and ushers, engraved stationery, an assigned seating chart, and dozens of etiquette rules. An expensive event, this type of wedding usually has more than 200 guests in attendance. Holy heck. That's a lot of freaking people. Can you really know 200 people that you actually want to be at your wedding? Anywho, but when you think about it, a religious wedding is taking place. In large part, it's like a formal wedding. Tradition means wear the right dress, social norms of father and mother, bride and groom, married in the church, grew up in, with the spouse, formal, traditional, religious, very popular weddings, and they honestly can be very beautiful. But traditional types of weddings are cool, but let's visit some non-traditional type weddings, like the cruise wedding, which according to this article is a type of destination wedding where cruise marriage ceremonies are officiated by the ship's captain or clergy member at port. Now let me tell you why I like this so much. There are two reasons. The first is because I just love destination weddings. My sister had a destination wedding, and it was beautiful. Elegant, fabulous, loving, which, of course, everyone knows, is a wedding that's held usually, you know, in a faraway destination location. Hers was in Temecula, California, beautiful wine country, gorgeous. But I don't want to talk about destination weddings. I want to talk about cruises. And like I said, two reasons why I love them. And the first one was because, like I said, I love destination weddings. They're cute and sweet, and they really take care of everything for you right there. I think people don't like the idea of a cruise wedding because, for whatever reason, I mean, I couldn't really tell you, but I mean, the situation where you really are just paying one large fee for everybody to not only be in one place, but somewhere to sleep as well. And shoot, you can have as much alcohol as you want because the room to the elevator is right around the corner. I mean, it's just the cutest thing to me. The second reason is because it sets a romantic mood for the couple. You have the setting of the water right there in front of you, no extra charge, and you can make it as elegant or simple as you want it. You just really can't beat that. I mean, at least I don't think so. The last type of wedding I want to detail is another really cute type to me. But most people wouldn't agree that it's that cute because, you know, like, oh, I don't want to share, blah, blah, blah. But it's the double wedding. It normally consists of best friends and siblings, two couples participating in a single marriage ceremony. Each couple participates in their own set of wedding rites, usually with the eldest bride going first. So one of my favorite movies is Pride and Prejudice. And that's where I kind of fell in love with double weddings. Because at the end of the movie, both sisters are marrying these two rich, handsome, amazing men, and everyone in the town and country is invited. And they're sharing that love and bliss together because they want to be by each other's side. It's not selfish. It's not boastful. It's not, nah, she can't take my day from me. It's all about me. It's simply love. Love can't be any of those things. So why share it with a sister or a best friend? I mean, you're going to have her in the wedding anyway. You two might as well just go ahead and get married. You're going to be in her wedding. She's going to be in yours. Might as well share it together. I'm just saying. I mean, it just doesn't get any cuter. Well, I think we touched on the types pretty much down. We got it down packed. I want to take another quick break. And when we come back, it's time to talk money. What is the total and average cost Americans are spending on weddings? Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with you on Hannah Your Business Radio.
It's Monday night. You're working on your personal business proposal because you just thought of an amazing idea for a small business. Everything is coming together great, but then you realize you have to get the word out there somehow. That's where I come in. Ever thought about advertising for your business on blog radio? If so, I'm your girl. Public service announcements, party shout-outs, or just plain get your name out there. Email me, Adise Renee, at hannahyourbizradio@gmail.com, and I'll take care of everything for you. One simple conversation, and we are in business. Don't start your business without getting some advertising first. And radio, better yet, internet radio, is a great way to get started. So email me with your business name and the idea for your commercial, and we will go from there. HANNAURBIZRADIO@gmail.com. Let Avise Renee do the talking for you.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Hannah Your Business Radio. I'm your host, Avise Renee. And like I said, it is time to talk money. Money. But excuse my singing, it's not the best. But let me first say, some of these numbers are pretty ridiculous. I mean, literally, it costs more to marry someone nowadays than it costs to bury them. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but it really does. Listen to these numbers. They're from HuffingtonPost.com, Magazine.com. They say that the price of weddings has jumped to an all-time high, reaching an average of $31,213 in 2014. New research says that surveying 16,000 American couples, the Knot in 2014 Real Wedding Study found that 45% of weddings exceed a couple's budget, and moreingly, 23% lack budget altogether. Most brides spent an average of $1,357 alone on their wedding dress. I mean, not only are they going over budget, but they're not even having a budget. That's a problem. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not good with money or anything, but what's the deal? I mean, let me break a couple of the prices that I found down for you. We have attire and accessories. Attire and accessories, $2,000. Beauty and spa, $200. Beauty and spa. What did I say? Spa? Beauty and spa, $200. Flowers and decorations, $1,600. Gifts and favors, $600. Invitations, $900. Jewelry, $5,000. Photography and video, $3,000. Planner and consultant, $2,000. Venue catering and rentals, $12,000. Holy freaking crap. Just the jewelry alone is insane. I mean, these numbers are bonkers. But the crazy part is that this is totally real life. This is what it costs to get married today in America. I mean, I'm not going to use a consultant and a planner. I'll probably just do the thing myself. But if you take all those costs, this is what it costs today in America. Especially if you want your day to be fabulous and amazing, and you're going to come out your pocket. And you might have a couple holes in them afterwards. My thing I really want to know, though, is when did all of this become too much for just one day? At what point does the bride and groom realize that they want to have children or buy a house or start owning some things, that they realize we might not want to spend this much on one day? Not to mention, the amount of people you invite doubles some of these prices a little bit. At any point, does this ever become too much, you know, money just for a memory? I want to tell you something I recently saw on Facebook. This guy, he spent $200. He got married on a beach. He invited 10 of his family and friends, 10 people all together. And afterwards, they all went fishing and had a fish fry. That was the reception. Fishing, fish fry. Now, I know some people would say, oh, that's ghetto, that's lame, blah, blah, blah. No, it's freaking genius. Especially if your family loves some dang fish, might as well go fishing. He saved money and they had a great time. They had some good fish. Sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, I'm not knocking large weddings. Don't believe that at all. I think they're beautiful and I'll be honored to attend one. I think the one I'm going to Friday is a big one. I just think that being in debt for your wedding is not really that necessary. That's all I'm saying. I'd rather do a cruise wedding and let them take care of all of that mess than, you know, completely go broke. I may have to consider that since my younger siblings don't seem to like the idea of a cruise wedding. Well, anywho, after all this talk about weddings, I'm ready for the fun of it to begin. After all the facts comes the fun, right? So this Friday, I'll be front and center at the Rose to Willis wedding for my girl, Stephanie. I know she's not listening, but if you just happen to catch this, boo, congratulations. I'm really happy for you. I can't wait. All right. So let's go on to my second favorite part of the show. Now that we've gotten to the gist of the weddings, we've got all the facts and, you know, all that jazz. Let's go into my second favorite part of the show, which is...
You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what really grinds my gears. So let me tell you something. I was talking to my parents the other day about this, and it reminded me how much I literally cannot stand it. Why do movie directors and casting directors not read their history before they make movies? It literally is an insult to cultures and people when a movie is made that is supposed to represent them and is done so completely incorrect. For example, who, and I do mean who, in their right mind is making these movies about Egyptian gods? Whoever the heck you are, let me remind you of something really fast. Egypt is in Africa, not Europe, not Australia, not England, not South America, Africa. The home of the colored people, people of color, black folks, the ancestors of slaves, whatever you want to call us. You can't change the fact that it's in Africa. Therefore, when you cast a movie based on the gods of Egypt, what makes you think that someone who is not an African American or an African-African or African whatever needs to represent them? I just don't understand. I don't understand. The movie of gods, I mean, it has, of Egyptian gods, has a main cast of Gerard Butler and Christian Bale, just to name a couple. I mean, what sense could that possibly make? At what point did your mind think that this actually made sense? When did you think this through? I mean, I'm really very curious because I just don't freaking get it. I mean, I don't even blame the actors at all, in all honesty. They're just trying to make money just like the next, and they accepted the role to get paid. Cool. I mean, in my opinion, they had to be the only reason because as much as I love these two actors, you must not know the history of your characters yourself. It's the only explanation I could think of. Oh, no, I get it. You want to be from Africa. That was not nice. But just kidding. All right. But the worst about this is, though, this is just one example. There are so many other movies out there where casting just was not thought through. Like, at all. They completely and totally did not get it. They did not research the characters. It doesn't represent them at all. I could go on and on about the list. I could. I won't. Instead, I'll just say, get it together, Hollywood. Come on. Because this really freaking grinds my gears. Rant over. Now we're going to take another quick break. And then I'm going to give you my very favorite part of the day. The last break, then the last part of the day. It will be the quote of the week. And it was really hard to find a good quote to fit with relationship topic, you know. Kind of had to fit it in with weddings. But believe it or not, once I got it down, it was cool. I figured it out, got it all there, you know, found a good quote. But let me take one more quick break, And when we come back on Hannah Your Business Radio, I'm going to share with you the quote of the week. Don't go anywhere. I'm Adise Renee.
Hey, guys. What are you doing at this very moment? Listening to the radio, right? Well, why not take the few minutes you have and go follow the Hannah Your Business page. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio. Then you search for Hannah Your Business Radio, and voila, you press follow. It doesn't get any easier, right? You web search, then you search for the show, and then you follow. Oh, and after you do that, since I know you're on your Facebook account and Instagram anyway, like the pages, Hannah Your Business Radio and at Hannah Your Biz Radio. Follow and like. Very simple steps. And be sure to tune in every Wednesday on blogtalkradio.com/HannahYourBizRadio for new episodes with me, Adise Renee. You're staring at your computer anyway. Sounds like you should be liking and following a few things if you catch my drift.
What's going on? I'm Adise Renee, and this is Hannah Your Business Radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm sorry. I hope you stream a little later and catch the rest of the show. But it is time for the ending, my favorite part, because, you know, I like quotes. They're pretty exciting. The quote of the week, which is on weddings, because that's what our topic is today. So if you're getting married, know anybody getting married, or happen to be close to it, just throw this quote their way. Just, you know, kind of a to remember sidebar kind of thing. A wedding is a party, not a performance. If at the end of the day, you are married to the one you love, then everything went perfectly. Let me say that one more time, because I think I might have to tell this to my girlfriend. A wedding is a party, not a performance. If at the end of the day, you are married to the one you love, then everything went perfectly. I think those words are pretty actually perfect. I mean, I've toot my own horn a little bit, but I actually might have to remember that myself. I just feel the itch of me possibly being a bridezilla one day. I hope not, but I can feel the itch. Well, anywho, thank you so much for everyone that tuned into my show today on weddings. I truly enjoyed talking with you and learning some very interesting facts, I must say. It's been absolutely amazing again for one more time before I go on spring break. So, unfortunately, next week I won't have a show. I'll be getting much needed rest, and I promise to sleep at least one of those out of the 10 days, just like the entire day. I'm not even going to lie to you. But please come back the following week, April 13th, for the 5th episode of Hannah Your Business Radio, where I will talk on the subject of 5-star hotels. I bet you're probably scratching your head like, what on earth is she going to talk about with that subject? But you'd be surprised when you have a whole week to figure something out where your mind or your research can go. Should be interesting nonetheless. So make sure you tune back in April 13th. Don't miss it that Wednesday after spring break. I hope to have you here with me. But if you weren't able to catch this episode or any others, then you can always stream it later on blogtalkradio.com. All you have to do is search for Hannah Your Business Radio, and you'll, you know, see all the past episodes. They'll come up, listen to them, comment on them, all that jazz. And while you're at it, go ahead and press the follow button just for fun. I mean, you might as well. Also, if you're on Instagram and Facebook, Instagram at Hannah Your Biz, B-I-Z Radio, and Facebook, Hannah Your Business Radio. That's my page. Two very simple things. You can do them. I know you can. You go on Instagram, Facebook every day anyway. I don't really know how you haven't done it yet. I mean, let's be honest. But that's all for me. I'm going to get ready for my last day before I'm home free. Plus, I have to go home and tame this head. I cannot go to a wedding looking like Mufasa. Thank you again for joining me, and I'll catch you next time, April 30th, 5 o'clock, for another episode of Hannah Your Business Radio. I'm your girl, Adise Renee, and I'm outie.